Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
One of the uglier games that you've ever seen, and doing things that I'm not sure I've ever seen before, the way that that end of the first half was managed and even the end of the game by Aaron Glass.
You know, listen, I think there's a lot of times here where we overreact, or we maybe lump in previous failures and it becomes maybe a little bit bigger than it is in terms of, you know, just the emotion. I don't think anything that's been said, and I listened to the station this morning, I listened to calls all over social media, I don't think that there's anything that could be said today or will be said today that is unfair to the Jets, or more specifically unfair to Aaron Glenn. Somebody that we're all obviously rooting for, but Aaron Glenn at this point is absolutely overwhelmed. He is now lecturing the media, and he just sounds sloppy, not even knowing how far the field goal was. And, you know, I know that there's some checkpoints to get there, but I think for me the biggest fear is the Jets are going to have a top pick, you know, whether it's one or two or three, whatever, and they're going to take a quarterback. And the question that I am already asking myself that I didn't think I would be asking myself under any circumstance at this stage of his tenure, six games in, is Aaron Glenn the coach that you want to hand off and work with a first overall pick as a quarterback? And how do you say yes to that right now? How do you say yes?
I mean, but it's 6 weeks in. So there's a lot there. I mean, look at all the other coaches who we run out of town here, or the quarterbacks who run out of town. Like, I get what you're saying. So what do you want to do? Fire the head coach again and hire somebody new? And do you trust Woody to do that? Like, you don't. You loved Aaron Glenn more than anybody. You ready to give up on him after six weeks?
I wanted Mike Vrabel first. And I thought that Aaron Glenn would be much better than this. And I understand that if you look at what happened with Detroit, Dan Campbell, they lost however many. I understood, but it's taking like a dangerous turn. That exchange with Costello yesterday was so out of balance. Now, not that you can't have a bad moment, I understand that, but to tell a guy who's been covering the Jets for, 15, 20 years, however long he's been on the Jets beat, that's a bad question? No, coach, it's the most pertinent question you could be asked. The Jets had 1 yard with 2:03 to go in the second quarter. 1 yard. And you're going to flip the script on a guy doing his job, saying that it's a bad question? What are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I have more of an issue of what he actually did on the field. I couldn't care less about what he says with Brian Costello.
But it ties. I got you. Yeah. But to me, it ties in. Yeah. Like, because now if the on the field stuff was buttoned up,
right,
and he said that, I'm like, okay, what happens on the field does matter.
But I think that plays to the point of he's in a situation where he didn't realize that there was this much of an overhaul. Meaning that, like, it's so fragile with the Jets that the media, the fans, from week one were ready to pounce on Aaron Glenn when he didn't get the job done. Ready to pounce. Week two, same thing. Oh, nope. Awful. Can't have it. Awful. Get him out of town. Is he overmatched? And then that starts to snowball and build up to a point where nobody is going to have success. I remember almost everybody in this town ripping and questioning Todd Bowles, saying that Todd Bowles was in fact clueless. Now, not me, I happen to like Todd Bowles, but obviously what he did here was not great. Everybody was calling him clueless. Can't coach, what a horrible hire. How's Todd Bowles doing right now? He's one of the best. He's got one of the best teams in the league. And it's not just this year, it's not a fluke. So maybe we're doing the same thing again with Aaron Glenn. Now, I would say that yesterday, I don't know what the hell that was going into halftime, where you have a fake punt, you convert the fake punt, and yet you play not to score. Like, that just
not
doesn't
playing to win.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
How is that possible for a guy who was a good player and knows the game? Yeah. He's not trying to win.
Well, I don't know what is going on there. That is just inexplicable. He could say it. The offensive coordinator could say it. Like, I know why he's thinking that, meaning that, well, we can't move the football, and Denver's defense is good, and I don't want to give up a score. Let's just feel good here at half. But once you convert that punt, the fake punt,
yeah,
you've got to at least try to get in field goal range.
I agree.
Letting it run out makes no sense whatsoever. And then at the end of the game, to think for an offense that was negative 10 yards through the air on the day, to think that you were going to convert a 4th-and-8 or whatever it was.
4th-and-8.
Yeah, I don't care if the field goal was, in fact, 67, 68 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Your best shot, like, what do they think? They were down by 4? It didn't make any sense. So those things, to me, I need a legitimate explanation from him as to what the hell he was possibly thinking. But you want to take it a step further or go 9 miles further and say, well, is he the right guy moving forward? Look, it's 6 games. I mean, yeah, they hired him for a reason.
Mm.
I've got to give a head coach more than 6 games to decide whether he's going to be good or not.
Listen, I do hear you. I get it. You know, and listen, I mean, think about what's going on with the Giants here. Who knows where their season goes, but think about what we've said about Dable and how many people wanted to bounce him continuously. They might wind up being this great relationship with Dart, and the Giants become really good, and Brian Dable's here for a long time. I understand all, but... So I really do. I get it. And the last thing I want is to go through another press conference
right.
with another GM or another coach and hit reset. And it really is. I keep saying I don't care anymore. Like, that's kind of that's where I get. I don't care, but I do care when it looks like that, because that's worrisome. When it's one thing to lose and to not have a lot of talent, not have a quarterback you believe in, I'm just throwing things, not have an O-line, not have a defense. Understood. This was going to be a massive cleanup on right. aisle 8. We all knew that because they've been so bad for so long. But it doesn't seem like he has a clue.
Okay, but that's part of hiring somebody who's doing that job for the first time. Like, that's just part of it. You have to, and Jeff fans have to, and the media is going to do what they want, but that to me does not help. Jeff fans just have to lay off for a little bit. This is the decision that the owner made to hire him. You've got to stick it out. You can't just make rash decisions after 6 weeks and say, well, he's inept. And I thought the handling of the first half and the final, you know, decision there to go for it were absolutely asinine. However, the Jets should not, and I said this from before the season, should not be judged off of wins and losses this year. And there is going to be a learning curve with a new head coach. And Justin Fields stinks. Like, that, like, there are many factors here at play. And they got a bunch of losers there on the team that have been part of a losing culture for years. Years. Guys that didn't want to listen to Aaron Rodgers. A Super Bowl winning quarterback. MVP. They didn't want to listen to him. They thought he was the loony. No, they're the losers. They thought he was the one who was crazy. Now look what he's doing. Look what all the other guys who have been here before and failed, whether it's head coaches or quarterback, look what they're doing elsewhere. So it can't just be it's not Aaron Glenn. It's not Todd Bowles. It's not Sam Darnold. It's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's the Jets. So give them some room here. Again, it was horrific yesterday. A horribly coached first 6 games of the season. Any which way you slice it. He's a first-time head coach that is learning. That's part of why I would have hired somebody with experience in New York, because this market will chew you up and spit you out. They've done it with everybody before.
But think about this, like, when you're a young broadcaster and you get on the air, right? There's things you have to learn, like how to hit the break and how to set things up and how to go to the calls. And if something goes wrong, technically, how to kind of vamp and, you know, not let the audience know that things are going awry behind you. And that just comes with reps. So I agree that there are things that will get better and certainly should get better just with repetition. And I do, but you could be a 22-year-old kid out of college with a journalism degree and they throw a mic in front of your face. The first thing you have to have is an opinion. You gotta have an opinion. And I don't know if he has, now as I loosely translate, an opinion or a clue on how to coach. And the next thing that's gonna happen, and I don't know where you stand on this, but like, I don't blame Garrett Wilson. Now, he's lost a lot of games here. Garrett Wilson's walking off the field. Garrett, as they are huddling for that player at the line of scrimmage, you can see the life, the soul, the competitiveness being sucked out of his body as he just, like, meekly walks off the field. Like, what are we doing? And then he goes up to the head coach, and, you know, optically, is it the best look? Maybe not, but I thought Aaron handled that well. He put his arm around him, he diffused it, and Aaron knows he's competing, and I know he like, it's, that's not a big problem, but it is a problem when somebody who is a dog in Garrett Wilson doesn't believe that you're trying to win. He's not the only one. I know there's not a lot of guys in that locker room that deserve the benefit of the doubt or who have accomplished a damn thing. But if you are especially in football, if you're a football coach and your team doesn't think that you are doing whatever it takes to move the sticks and to try to win the game, don't even show up.
Yeah.
You got no chance.
I wouldn't care what Garrett Wilson has to say, honestly. So I would be more worried about Aaron Glenn and why he handled it that way. And I think the way that he handled it is in part because he is scared because of all the blowback that he's received. Now, that's on him. He should fight through that and say, I don't give a crap when anybody says, this is how I'm coaching and this is what I believe. But if they do go for it there, let's say, and are more aggressive and they turn the ball over and Denver scores, what do you think people are going to be saying? Oh, same old Jets going into the halftime, blowing through. Thing. So I guarantee you that that's part of a learning curve for a first-time head coach in this market that is thinking too much and afraid to be more aggressive in that spot. As for Garrett Wilson, did he want Aaron Rodgers here or not?
No, but okay. Neither did Aaron Glenn.
Okay,
well, and I don't think Woody Johnson did either. The whole thing with Woody's son. Who knows how that went
fair
down?
Enough, but that's a knock on Glenn.
I don't think anybody wanted him in the building, which says all you need to know about the building.
But the point is, Garrett Wilson could have benefited from learning from Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
And he didn't want to do that. So I can't get. And Garrett Wilson has been a losing player since he's been here. Now I get that Jeff fans haven't seen anything like him since Al Toon. So that's why you overrate him. And he's got elite skill level. Understood. You go put him somewhere else. Maybe he'll be a very solid receiver. I don't care about Garrett Wilson and what he has to say because he's been a losing player from day one and it's never changed. And he had the opportunity to change with a winning quarterback, an MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he didn't want to listen to him. So it's always everybody else with Garrett Wilson. It's not him.
Well, but think about this. Like, what's worse, you know, back to the play at the half here, because to me this signifies everything right now. Granted, it could get better, but right now. What's worse, making a mistake and ultimately losing because you try?
Right.
Or losing because you basically surrender?
Yeah, no,
you take the white flag. We're good. Now, we're all right. We don't have to compete. I don't know how you could have a worse look for a guy that I thought was going to be more bummed up. And by the way, if he didn't come in so aggressively, this is part of the deal with him, too. And this is why I was trying to tell him early on, dial it down, buddy. Tap the brakes. When you're telling everybody, we're not the same old Jets, we're not going to be this, we're not going to be that, and then you are so meekly accepting defeat, it puts the wheels in motion for constant criticism and eventually anarchy. And once the anarchy begins to infiltrate the building, who the hell knows what's going to happen? Because the owner is clueless. The defensive coordinator stinks. I don't know about the GM yet, and I'm terrified about the head coach.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. James is calling from Delray Beach. What's up, James?
What's going on, guys? I'm not going to touch on any of the coaching decisions from yesterday because if I do, I may have a stroke on air. But we always say, like, we got to give him time. He's a first-time head coach. And then Muji, he's a first-time GM. Give him time. But we said that countless times with other regimes, and you're looking down the barrel of possibly having the number one overall pick. And if you screw that one up, then it'll make the Zach Wilson number two overall pick look like nothing. Like, that will literally send this franchise back decades. They may have to leave New York if they screw that one up. So, like, you really have to sit there for once in Woody Johnson's life. He has to sit there and actually make a good, like, decision, take his time and say, do I really want these two guys who are learning on the job and it's only getting worse and worse by each week And the product that we see on the field is directly from them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's turnover from past regimes, and there's guys that you're handcuffed to for this year, maybe next year, but everything we're seeing is a direct result from them, and it's only getting worse.
Well,
do I really want these two guys in charge of the number one overall?
It's a money question. Thank you, James, for the call. It really is. It's maybe going to be the question. Now, I don't know enough about Muji. He just got here, so I certainly can't say that he won't or can't identify the quarterback. And I'm not prepared to say that, you know, I absolutely will not allow Aaron Glenn to come back for a second year and coach that young quarterback. But the problem is there's no consensus first overall pick. There's no John Elway. There's no Andrew Luck. There's no Peyton Manning. So there's going to be three or four names, too, which played over the weekend, and Moore and Mendoza. And I watched that game. I'll give you some thoughts a little bit later. Mendoza looked really good. That's the short version. And Moore did not. But I don't know, Sal. I mean, he's not an offensive mind, so that's strike one. He seems completely overwhelmed. That's strike two. It's a dysfunctional, worst franchise in all those sports. That's strike three. There are really, truly times where it just seems like there's no hope.
Okay, but then what makes you think that it's going to get better if they fire Aaron Glenn and Muji next year and do what? Who are they going to hire? That's going to draft.
Like, I don't know, but if you bring in, what about Gruden? And I almost hate to do this so early because you're right. It is six weeks, but at least if you hire somebody who knows how to do it, yeah. Don't you think the odds go up that you have a better chance to succeed?
It's why I would have hired Pete Carroll last year. So you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have hired an experienced head coach because I said all these things, but they didn't. And everybody loved it, loved Aaron Glenn. So now you got to live with it. They made their decision. You're going to fire him to go get Gruden, who you could have had a year ago? That, to me, is asinine. That's really showing that you don't know what you're doing. Vrabel's a different story. Maybe they went after him. They weren't going to get him because they weren't in a spot as a franchise that was appealing enough to get Mike Vrabel. He wanted no part of the Jets, much like most people probably wouldn't want a part of the Jets. What do you think is going to happen with the next guy? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go fire. Now, I don't know if they're going to fire him or not, but let's just say in the hypothetical that they do, they'll fire Glenn. They'll go hire somebody else that's going to come in here, talk a tough game. We're going to rebuild this thing. They'll draft the first-round quarterback, and it's again going to be asked to be the savior. And after 1 week of failure, everybody's going to be calling saying, this quarterback sucks. This head coach is overmatched. They don't got it because they don't have enough time to build it the right way. That's just how it is. To me, it's delusionville to think that you were coming in here having this season based on wins and losses. How could this team be any good? I didn't see it. And now they're 0-6. Did I think it was going to be this bad? Maybe not. And doing some of the foolish things that you saw yesterday from Aaron Glenn. So obviously there are some question marks. It's also year one, 6 weeks in. Like, it could change. You don't know. It could change in the next 6 weeks or so.
The correlation is ownership, and it's a broken record, and it's so much deeper than Aaron. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I know that this is a different conversation, but you just can't play Justin Fields a whole lot more. You just can't. I mean, Sal,
Tyrod Taylor's the answer?
Maybe Brady Cook. I don't know if there is an answer. There probably is not an answer. But I would think, and I would have liked to at least have the ability to see this happen yesterday. Like, if you pull Justin, even if you don't bench him, like, you could have just given Tyrod Taylor a couple of series. Excuse me. Maybe you squeak out a win. For some reason, the Jets are actually favored this weekend. There's some winnable games coming up. Not that the season's going anywhere, but you owe it to the team to put your best foot forward. And I knew that Justin Fields was poor reading defenses. I didn't think he was this bad. He doesn't see a damn thing in front of him. He's terrified to let the ball go. There's not an ounce of anticipation. Like, at this level, you know the play. Take a simple 10-yard out. There was one of these with Garrett Wilson yesterday where you run 10 yards, you put your left foot in the ground, boom, you turn to the sideline. As soon as that left foot hits the ground, the ball's got to be out because Fields knows the play, and obviously the receiver does. He basically waits till he gets to the sideline, and guess what happens? When you do that, the corner knocks it away, and it doesn't help when it's a foot and a half behind him. So I don't think that there's anything that Justin will do from a passing perspective that's going to change this. So he's just not good enough. So when you have a chance to steal a game, I don't know. I mean, not that Tyrod's the answer. I know he's not long-term, but I wouldn't mind to see him yesterday. I really wouldn't have.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Rogers in the Bronx. What's up, Roger?
Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? Just wanted to say, I can't do it no more, man. I can't watch it no more. I've been a Jets fan for 40 years. It's just coach after coach after coach. It's just Aaron Glenn is not the coach. I don't care if you bring him in next year. I don't care if you keep him around. He's definitely not the coach. After what he did yesterday on the sideline at halftime, that just shows me this guy is scared of coach. He's scared to lose. He's scared. He don't know at all what he's doing. He's clueless on the sideline. And if I was Woody, I'd get rid of him today. Today, I'll be making the call. I don't care what coach we bring in. Start again.
Yeah, but Raj, hold on. Yeah, I appreciate the energy. I definitely do. You fire him today. You can't say you don't care who you bring in, because then it could actually, well, it can't be worse than 0-6. But, I mean, there's got to be a limit on just how little you give somebody to prove that they have a chance to be the guy. I'm not saying fire him today. I'm just saying I'm very worried that he's not the guy. But you got to give him a little more time, Raj.
I know somebody. I'll tell you like this. Whatever coach come in, I know they could do a better job than Aaron Glenn. I know we could have won at least one game this year of coaching. Whatever coach you, at least we would have won one game. Aaron Glenn is a joke, and I think he's only thinking just because he was a player with the Jets, he think his job is all good and everything. It don't work like that with New York Jets fans. For us, especially people who've been waiting almost 40, 50 years for playoffs, not even Super Bowl, for just a playoff.
Yeah.
So if he thinks he's just going to sit on the sideline and think, oh, we're going to wait around another 2-3 years, he's going to be gone by the end of the season. I guarantee.
Yeah, and how's that going to work out for you, Roger? And thank you for the call.
And he's not thinking that, Roger. I think that's not that you try to disrespect him directly, but I think to think that Aaron doesn't know the deal and the repercussions and New York. He played here. He's been a coach. He's grinded his way up. I mean, nobody's here to disrespect the man, but I don't know how you could be around the game for so long and actually oversee that before the end of the first half and think that that's the way to go. I've never seen anything so bad in my life.
That was ugly, but it is part of a learning curve with a first-time head coach. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. How many different guys do we need to see it? How many guys do we need to see it with? Robert Sala, Adam Gay, like how many guys? Todd Bowles. How many times do we need to see it? It's the same thing.
It is.
It's the same thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.